Well, it is a joy to be with you. I tell people I have a good memory, I just don't know where I put it. And this morning I forgot to bring in my glasses, so I'll be lifting this up sometimes to read, but bear with me. We're going to be picking up where Glenn left off. He had a real good word last week, and we're going to follow up on continuing on the life of Jacob and what God had in store for him. When I was in seminary, way back when, one of the areas we studied was a thing called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the rules for interpreting Scripture. And I remember when I was taking this class, I developed one of my own rules and that applied mostly to the Old Testament. And that principle was, nobody's completely useless, they can always serve as a bad example. And there are a lot of bad examples in the Old Testament. And we can learn from that. And so we're going to see a few bad examples here in this passage as we study it this morning. And we will be looking, we're starting in chapter 32, verse 22. And I think we can get that up here. And I got to read it. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jacob. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was pulled out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Jacob wrestled with God. Was that good or bad? Well, I think it was good, because he wanted a blessing. And he was not going to give up until he got that blessing. He got his hip thrown out of joint, but he still held on and struggled. Now, I will confess, my hip, my right hip, got thrown out. The muscle on that hip got pulled off. Happened while I was skiing. Why are you laughing? Yeah, I don't ski anymore. But it is painful, and it continues on throughout life. And he had this pain in his hip for the rest of his life. But he wrestled with God. He fled the area in the first place. Well, he wanted to go get a wife, but he also wanted to avoid his brother and all the because he stole a blessing from him, and he escaped. And after a number of years, God said, I want you to go back home. So he got his wife and the servants and the kids, and he headed back. And as he crossed over, he put his wife and his kids and everybody in front of him, and then he got into this wrestling match. Now, it doesn't say, he says it wrestles with a man. It doesn't say who he was. But after it was over, he said, I saw God face to face. And so many people think it was an angel. Many of people think it was actually the pre-incarnate Jesus that he wrestled with, because he said he saw God face to face. And I kind of lean in that direction. But he wrestled. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. That's an example there. A good example for us to wrestle with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? I don't mean actually in a wrestling match, but wrestling in prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. It's interesting that the words there, ask, seek, and knock, are actually participles. It's part a verb and part a noun. And it means you don't just ask, you're an asker. God doesn't want us to say, Lord, give me this. Thank you. Amen. God, I really need this. Hey, God, are you listening to my prayer? Please, give me this. Be an asker, a seeker, a knocker. Continue. Let God know that that's what's really on your heart. It isn't just that we're to throw up a bunch of prayers and figure, yeah, God will answer them. God wants you to be an asker, a seeker, a knocker. He wants you to persevere in what is deeply in your heart. And he responds to that. Not just every frivolous, hey, I'd like a candy bar, Lord. Lord, I really need to be healed. Lord, I want my wife to be healed. I want you to touch this person. I want you to draw them to Christ. Lord, I really need help at work. Give me grace and wisdom as I confront all these people there. You need to be an asker, a seeker, and a knocker. You need to wrestle with God. You need to grab a hold of him and say, Lord, this is what I really want in life. Please, please. Are you ready to wrestle with God? I hope so. Well, for him, it was a life-changing event. God told Jacob to go back to his homeland. He said, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise and go from this land and return to the land of your family. And it says in chapter 33, Jacob introduced his family He met Esau, his brother. And Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken what was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, to your kindred, and I'll be with you. So Jacob set out, called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was. Jacob said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. So Jacob returned. When he returned to his homeland, it was a struggle. It was a big struggle. When he returned, he saw his brother there. And his brother came to meet him with 400 men. And so he went out in front and came toward his brother. And his brother ran up and hugged him and kissed him. Embraced him. And Jacob started apologizing. And he said, no problem. I'll give you a gift here. Take my gift. He refused. But Jacob insisted. So he took it. And they parted their ways. And Jacob continued on to Shechem. Now, Shechem was a day's journey short of Bethel. But Jacob stopped there. It was a prosperous trade center, a really nice city, great opportunity to buy good stuff and make money and have a fun time. So I'll get there eventually. And I'm basically back in my homeland. Yeah. Well, he bought himself a house, made some booths for his livestock. And, well, let me read it here. Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place was called Succoth. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Padam Aram, and he camped before the city. So he set up there, made a nice home, got a place, settled in, was more or less where God wanted him, right? Yeah, more or less. I think the Lord wanted him back in Bethel. But he kind of stopped at this other place because it looked like a really nice place. Sometimes we do that with God, too. And we settle in short of where God really wants us to be, what he really wants us to do. We need to press on. What is God's will? I'm not just close to it. I want to reach it. I want to do it. Well, It may have been a nice city, but it had a lot of messes. The son of the leader in the city saw one of Jacob's daughters, Dinah. Hey, she's really cute. And he took her off, took her home, and raped her. Went back and said, well, I'd really like to marry this gal. Can I have her as my wife? And the response was, well, if we're going to get joined together, you guys all need to get circumcised. Ooh, that's painful. But that's part of the cost, you know. We worship God. He commands his people to be circumcised, so you need to get circumcised. Okay. So we got all the men of the city to be circumcised. And while they were recuperating from that, Simeon and Levi, two of Jacob's sons, were really ticked off. And they took swords, and while these guys were laying in bed with their pains from circumcision, they went in and killed all the men. Took their daughter back, his daughter back. And Jacob's response was to let them know that now he had a bad reputation in the area and people weren't going to trust him. And his life was in danger. The boys responded, well, they treated our sister like she was a prostitute. Certainly, she deserved care and respect. But their response was deceitful and wrathful. And this is a good example of a bad example. When people sin against us, it's wrong. And it's appropriate for us to have a response. But the response needs to be a godly one, not a sinful one. We need to not strike out on them. Well, they struck out on me. I'm going to get even. No. We don't get even. We go for justice and righteousness in the sight of God. When we or our loved ones are treated wrongfully, we do need to respond. But there are good ways and there are wrong ways of responding. Well, God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments and let us arise and go to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So he called its name Alon Bakuth. God appeared to Jacob again, and when he came from Padam Aram, and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." And God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken to him Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel. When they were still some distance from Ephrah, Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you have another son." And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called him his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Well, Jacob gathered up all the spoils that he had from Shechem, collected and buried all the idols that his family had collected, and we're leaving that behind. We're going to worship the God who spoke to me. And he gathered them up and moved on. The word Bethel means house of God. So he was headed for the house of God. God again spoke to Jacob and repeated his name change from Jacob, which means heel holder, to Israel, wrestler with God, and promised him a heritage of kings. Jacob, by nature, was a heel holder. Grab a hold, hold on, trip him up. God wanted him to be a wrestler with God. Don't go wrestling with people trying to grab their stuff, but grab a hold of me. Get close to me. Get to know me. Lay out your heart's burdens before me, and I'll listen to you. And some of them I'll agree with, and some of them I don't. And I'll let you know. But you got to wrestle with God and work all this stuff out. Well, Jacob came to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And there Rachel had a son, called him his name, Son of My Sorrow. But Jacob didn't give him that name. He gave him the name Benjamin, Son of My Right Hand. Rachel died and was buried there. Jacob had another son. Well, chapter 35 follows with a list of Jacob's sons and their trip to Mamre, which is Hebron. And there he was with his father, and his father died at age 180.
Wow.
So what do we learn from the story here? Well, following God is not always easy. It's a struggle. There's a lot of devious paths. And sometimes we make it a struggle because we stop along the way. We get sidetracked. God calls us to persevere. When we get hurt by people, when people sin against us, we do need to respond, but not in their sinful way. It'll face consequences in our lives if we do. And God calls us to let go of our old nature and to take up our new nature and to seek God, to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. I'd like the worship team to come up. Are you at a place in your life where you're really seeking God? Where you're asking Him and keep on asking Him? Keep on pursuing what's really your heart's desire, but also pursuing what you think God's heart's desire is too? Are you bringing your life in line with God's purpose for your life? Not just your selfish, greedy desires, but for what God really wants for you. Are you seeking that and putting it first in your life? God calls us to do that. Amen.